Dolch.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really good habit to get into. Normally, Friday is K-Files night. That means on Friday night after the show, I start sending out the K-Files e-zine, but we've sent out an early edition this week. Today, we started sending out the K-Files. So if you have not yet subscribed to the K-Files, you need to go ahead and subscribe, but it's already gone out this week. Okay. Now, the reason for that, or it's going out, actually, as I speak to you, some folks are getting it now. The reason for this is pretty simple. Tomorrow, I will not be here. I will be at the premiere of a movie called The Appearance of a Man. I'll be covering that. We'll be videotaping it, and we'll bringing that to you, that videotape to you, in future shows, perhaps next week. Depends on how much time it takes to edit it all. But The Appearance of a Man, you know, we had the producer and director of that movie on the show here, Daniel Pace. And the premiere is tomorrow night. I'll be covering it. And so I won't be here. This show will go on. And you need to be here. And if you're not here, you're going to miss a universe of information. But I will not be live here tomorrow night. I will be live, but I will be at this premiere. It's going to be in Tempe, Arizona. And those of you in the Phoenix area or within a driving distance of Phoenix, check it out. It's it is going to be at the Harkins Valley Arts Theater. And so hopefully I'll see you there. This week, we have been exploring all this different perspectives about 2012 and are we in the end of times and so forth. And tonight we continue with that. I did have a guest scheduled for this week that was not going to be speaking about that. That guest had to postpone, and so and that worked out well, since I will be doing this premiere tomorrow night. But we'll continue tonight from a different perspective than we've heard from so far. We've heard from a lot of different perspectives about 2012, the Mayan prophecy, is it the end of times, is there anything we really need to be worried about, etc. So we're going to continue with that tonight, again from a different perspective, with my guest this evening, Dr. Alfred Adams. He is also a filmmaker and has produced a film, directed a film, called Are We Living in the End Times? And so we'll take a look at that perspective tonight, one that I think really bears some examination. All right. I'll be back right after this break. As I said at the opening of the show, during this week we have focused on 2012 and the end times because many people have communicated to me that this is something they're concerned about. I've gotten a number of emails and we've received a number of calls here to the show about that topic. As I said at the beginning of this series of shows, there are many different perspectives and points of view regarding 2012 and regarding the end time events. We've heard perspectives from a scientific point of view. We've heard a New Age slant. We've heard the point of view of ancient civilizations. And tonight, well, tonight we'll hear from a biblical point of view. Now, I said something that you need to pay attention to. I said this will be from a biblical point of view, not the biblical point of view, because there is no such thing as the point of view on anything, including the Bible. There are many points of view. And that's true with anything that comes out of the Bible as well. There are many diverse biblical points of view. Let me tell you that this is not a religious show, and that this is not about promoting doctrines. This is about taking a look at whatever information and data there may be within the Bible about the times in which we live. For those of you who are nervous about that, grow up and live in a real world. You shouldn't be nervous about information regardless of where it comes from. You should be open-minded and willing to hear it. I think we've been too pre-programmed for way too long. And we think when we hear the word Bible, we think religion. Well, the Bible says what it says. It has its own data. And then men go make up religions. My guest this evening is Dr. Alfred Adams. He is a researcher. He is an author. He has written a book called Nearing Midnight and another book, Nearing Midnight 2. He is a filmmaker as well, having directed Are We Living in the End Times? From New Orleans, Louisiana, Dr. Alfred Adams, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hey, Brother Kevin. Thank you for having me.
All right. Now, this is a big, big question that your movie asks. Your movie, just the title, says, Are We Living in the End Times? Big question. It's all over the History Channel for the past week. And all kinds of documentaries about that question. Let me just ask you to give us a thumbnail sketch of what this movie is about. What do you do with this movie?
The movie's probably not what people think it is. I went on the streets of New Orleans during Mardi Gras season because I knew there would be a cross-section of tremendous amount of tourists from all parts of the United States and even tourists from outside the country. And we posed questions to them about things that were going on in the world today that would be more in lines of what you'd classify as just current events. And if they were aware of these current events, if they heard of certain terms and terminology, and they gave us their opinions or their answers. The next part in the movie, I did sit down with some pastors and asked them the same questions and let them give their opinion. And then what we did was take actual news clips and reels, whether it would be from CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, that backed up and gave supporting information to some of the questions and current events that were going on. And when you put it all together and you kind of mesh it, it would leave a viewer desiring or wanting to either A, do tremendous amount of research on some of the topics that are in the movie, or B, feel as though they have fallen asleep and a lot of the world around them has really changed and they just haven't heard about it because they're too caught up in watching whether it's American Idol or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and they're not staying real close attention to the things that are going on that really affect their life. So it kind of gives a wake-up call to them. And then the third thing would be if a person has read the Bible and knows about the Bible, some of the topics that are in the movie would not be surprising, so to say, but they may be surprising to the fact of I didn't know that that has already either A, been achieved, or B, is in the process of being achieved.
Okay, so the movie does not take a between-your-eyes religious approach.
No, sir, not at all. It's not any form of religion. It's just facts that are presented. It's people's beliefs that are presented about the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors do interpret some Bible scripture in it. And then there are news clips that actually back up certain events that are going on that are current events that people need to be aware of what is going on so they don't, you know, basically fall asleep.
Well, you know, just an observation, you know, after I started getting all those emails last week, and I really wasn't sure why all of a sudden I started getting a bunch of emails about it, and then one of them mentioned that they had seen a documentary on the History Channel, so I tuned into the History Channel, and they were loaded up with documentaries last week about 2012 and Nostradamus and End of Time. And you know, whenever they quote something from Nostradamus, they get a Nostradamus expert then to comment about it. Then, if sometimes they say, well, you know, something similar appears in the Bible, and they read that, and then they get some doctor somebody or a rabbi to talk about that. So that's not anything people should be nervous about. I think the History Channel kind of has set that format in people's minds, and they shouldn't be very nervous about that. But look, I want to ask you a question. When you went out on the street and you asked people about certain current events and were they aware that this has happened, how did the public do? And then tell us, how did the pastors do? How did they rank in terms of their awareness?
The public ranked very low. One of the main questions, or two questions that kind of tie into one another, was have they heard of the term RFID chip? And then another question was, did they believe the world could move to a cashless society, have no more currency left in the world? And a lot of answers were both no to some. You know, not a chance, it'll never happen, never even heard of the term radio frequency identification chip, which is, you know, it is what it is. There's a lot of facts on RFID chip. Verichip is one of the main producers of the RFID chip. They have received FDA approval to be able to be chipped into humans. They are in hospitals. They're hospitals tagging babies with electronic chips. That is their infant protection system that they have now. They've had numerous stuff on The Independent. One of their main headlines were cash, card, or microchip, referring to how do you plan to purchase something. And I thought that was very interesting. The pastors did believe that this Verichip possibly could either A, become the mark of the beast, or B, it already is the mark of the beast that the Bible talks about in Revelations chapter 13, 16, and 17, that says no one will be able to buy or sell goods, whether they're rich or poor. Didn't matter what race or creed, it's across the board that somebody would receive some form of mark to be able to do commerce.
Now let me tell you, let me just throw something in right there. Not long ago, I went down to a local bank to open up a savings account, a special savings account. And this sounds, you remember when you were a kid and it was time to turn your homework in at school and there was always somebody that said the dog ate it?
Yeah.
Well, I washed my wallet and it destroyed every bit of paper that was in it. And that included my Social Security card. So I go down to the bank. I've got all kinds of ID showing who I am. I can even hand them an old canceled diplomatic passport. Not just a passport, a diplomatic passport. And they told me, well, you'll have to bring your Social Security card in. I said, well, I don't have one. I mean, I've got a number. I can prove who I am. I can apply for a duplicate, but I'd like to open this account. Well, the girl went ahead and opened the account, and within a week, I got a notice from the bank that they were closing it because I had refused to bring my Social Security card in. Now, that's just with a Social Security card, living under the new regime, that the post-free republic regime in which we now live. That's just a Social Security number, Social Security card. Imagine if we go to a system where you have to have a chip, or I presume that it could be a chip, it could be a tattoo, but you've got to have some identifying mark on you.
Exactly. They have tattoos now, even that can be used with invisible ink, that can read and write transmission of data. And, you know, there's tremendous amounts of information out there. There's headline news that even talks about the biochip implant arrives for a cashless transaction. And they're pushing this thing on humans. They're in 1,300 hospitals now. A lot of the data that is on it is medical records. We haven't yet been put in a position to where financial transactions have happened. Is this going to be the mark that the Bible talks about, or is it a prototype? That's the ultimate coin flipper that we can do all night. But it is a sign that technology is there that either A, will soon fulfill biblical prophecy, or B, is right around the corner. But the technology of what they're talking about is definitely available. We have GPS systems that track animals. When we put tracking systems on them, whether it's fish, they just talked about that not long ago. They had the sharks that were right off the coast. They tracked them, with tagged them, and basically humans are being put in that category, referring to like animals, to chip us, track your every move, your every transaction. There's been numerous talks about the quote-unquote global surveillance society. There's been headline news that talked about every pupil to be numbered and kept on government databases for life. There's a tremendous amount of information being stored into these computers, and that information isn't very hard to transfer data to the chip. The actual chip is in the process of being applied with a patent that will have a cyanide capsule attached to it. That is something that is a patent that's trying to be applied for. And if that capsule, they said if a person can get out of line, they would touch a code in, pop that capsule, and then the cyanide itself would be released into the person.
What?
Yeah, that is, you can actually look that up on the internet, cyanide RFID chips for humans, and that is actually, there's news on that, actual video news clips where people are applying for that. There's an actual patent in the process of being applied for, where the RFID chip now has cyanide in it.
And what do they say about its proposed use? Who are they going to put that in?
Their target market would be, believe it or not, people coming out of prison would be their target market. People that would possibly be of high risk of, you know, committing reoffenses, whether it be armed robbery, burglary, rape, stuff like that. And It's getting a lot of heat from, I guess you would say, both people who just refuse it, obviously, but yeah, definitely from the religion Christian world. They're definitely receiving a lot of heat from it, protesting and stuff. But that is an actual thing that the viewers that are listening tonight can go and research that Sinai in RFID chips, that is actually available. They just haven't received yet the official patent for it.
Well, I would think not just the religious group, but I would think rank atheists would oppose that. Yeah, that's insanity. That is just insanity.
That is aware of what's going on would definitely not stand in line to get something like that. But I don't know. I believe a false sense of security is going to hit the people. I don't think it's going to be forced upon the people, such as if you don't take this, you know, with guns to our heads. I believe the people are going to run to it and demand it because they've been deceived into believing that this is a safety thing, that this is something you should have. And if you have nothing to hide, and if you're living your life the way you should, then you have nothing to worry about. And that is a very possible thing that can happen, because at that point, people leave their wallets at home now. If you're chipped and you have a chip on you, you know you're not going to leave your hand at home. You show up at the grocery store, it's a quick transaction, you move on with your life. If a police officer pulls you over, there is no discrepancy of where's your wallet, who are you, what's your name. You just put your right hand out the window, he comes with a little radar gun, clicks your hand, all the information comes up. So there is a lot of positive stuff that can happen, but at the same time, I think it's Big Brother and the government itself getting a lot more powerful than most people think.
Well, I got no argument with that. They already are a lot more powerful than people think. It's amazing how many people think they still live in freedom. And that astounds me. But and when I say things like that, I get email from people telling me how wrong I am. Okay, that's my view. See, to me, freedom is the ability to choose between saying yes and no. And if saying no to something means, you know, I could face prison time simply because I don't want to get a chip, I'm not living in freedom. Well, we're not there yet. But what about the vaccinations that are coming up, folks? We're hearing all over the country how state after state are beginning to prepare and plan for forced vaccinations. And I'll tell you something about this. Dr. Adams, I talked with someone last night that was interviewed by the local Fox News people about the upcoming vaccinations. And when this guy said, well, he didn't plan to take one, and he thought they were bad for everybody, the swine flu thing, they became very antagonistic with him during the taping of the segment. He told me about two other people they interviewed. They did the same thing with them. All three of these people said, okay, well, look, just don't use our segment. We don't, you know, you're not going to put us on the air and make us look foolish when we're not foolish. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. My guest this evening is Dr. Alfred Adams, and Dr. Adams is talking with us about some of the research that he did, finding world events that seem to match things that are spoken of in the end times prophecies that are contained in the Bible. And we've been talking about these RFID chips and the possibility they may be, the mark of the beast, or the precursor to the mark of the beast spoken of in Revelation. But in particular, we kind of got sidetracked when you mentioned that cyanide RFID, because that just boggles the mind that anybody would be so Frankensteinish that they would come up with something like that and try to get a patent for it. I hope they fail. I hope there is no patent for that. And folks, if you fall for the idea that you've got to give up freedom in order to have security, if you fall for that, you deserve what's coming. There's no such thing as security, and there's no such thing as safety. The most locked down society on this planet in terms of military everywhere, cops everywhere, everyone watching everyone, is Israel. Do they get hit with terrorist attacks? Yeah, they still do every day. All right. Enough of my rant. Dr. Adams, let me ask you to share with us just a couple of more, maybe three or four more, really important events that we would be aware of or should be aware of that seem to line up with things you found in these end time prophecies in the Bible.
Well, one of the big things is pretty much happening in our own front yard as opposed to backyard, which is the merger of the United States, Canada, and Mexico, which is the proposed new North American Union. It is also the proposed Amero, which would be a new currency that would take over the currency that we have in place now for the dollar, but it would also take over in Canada and in Mexico. There would be a complete merger of government, laws, currency, commerce, and that has been moving ahead, I mean, very well. It started in the Bush administration, and Obama, in the Dallas Morning News, supported the North American Union agenda. That was headline news. And in USA Today, Obama's quote was, "The North American Union needs an aggressive action." So he was looking for something to help continue to forge that forward. And we see a unification of the countries, much like the European Union, where they're under a complete set of guidelines. We do know that there is the African Union, the South American Union, we have the Asian Unions, and when they all start to merge themselves, it basically falls under one big guideline, which could fall under the United Nations, it can fall under the Trilateral Commission, or the Council on Foreign Relations. So you start to see a unification of moving to a global government, a global currency, global laws, and a global court. Now, somebody may say this is ridiculous, but I mind you, at the G20 summit, the French Prime Minister held in his hand a prototype coin for a new proposed global currency. You can do that research. That is totally on the internet. That is fact, that it has now officially been proposed that there is a prototype to push forward for a global currency. We know that the standard has been the dollar, and the dollar has been declining. We've seen numerous times in the news that China and France were screaming for a new global currency. They're in a position where they're buying up more gold and silver as opposed to doing anything else, because that's basically the only tangible substance that's out there right now. So on the streets, when I ask people in the documentary, "Are We Living in the End Times?" about have they heard of the North American Union or have they heard of the Amero, the answer was pretty much no with everyone.
Okay, now.
No one's heard of it. They haven't seen anything about it. Inside the documentary, Lou Dobbs from CNN does give a great viewpoint of what's going over, of how it happened. It was pushed ahead by George Bush's administration. Congress itself was left in the dark. There was absolutely no vote from the public people. And they pretty much signed this thing to move forward, which would also merge the militaries and the police as well. So we're constantly seeing that's another big step in whether you want to call it the right direction, the wrong direction, or of the end direction. That was another big sign in research that I put together that I see happening now.
All right. Now, when you brought this up and people had not heard of it, and that doesn't surprise me, I mean, there are people that cannot tell you who the first president of the United States was. And I'm very rude, I guess, when I comment about the state of what people know in America. I generally talk about Americans being mushheads and mushrooms. and they are. It, generally speaking, I'm embarrassed to say it. I wish it weren't true, but it is true. But when you told them about the North American Union, what kind of response did you get? Did they think that's a good thing, or did they think it was fiction, or what?
A lot of people believed it would never happen. Some people gave me the look of, are you serious? And then we told them, we said, yeah, I mean, you know, this is happening, you know. We gave them some information on it, asked them to please do the research. You know, you're in a position to lose, you know, your national sovereignty. And there were some people that they did hear of it, you know. It's kind of like, I heard a little bit about it, but I don't know what it means. You know, then we asked them if they thought it was a good idea. You know, obviously at that point comes in the point of, then why do we have border control with Mexico? And then you start getting into a real heavily political debate of, you know, what should be right and what should be wrong. We kind of leave the person that we interviewed with, what do you know about this? And what if you do know something about it, what do you know? The answers were very, very little. It just obviously was done behind closed curtains. And I believe that many things that are continuing to push forward biblically or in, you know, line with the Bible prophecy.
All right, now let me ask you to clarify for us. Why is the North American Union, why do you see that as being in line with Bible prophecy? By the way, let me say this before we move on to that and get that answer. When Congress did find out about this North American Union deal that was being struck by the Bush administration, they told the administration to cool it. They told them, stop it. You can't do that. And they pushed ahead with it anyway. And aside from before Congress even knew about it, but then after they knew about it and told the administration to stop it, the administration went forward with it anyway. They held additional meetings that they were told not to hold. Now, why do you see, what's the connection between the North American Union and Bible prophecy? What do you see in Bible prophecy that connects up with that?
What makes it easier is if there's a unification of several countries to be under one form of government law or dictatorship, courts and stuff like that, it's a lot easier to create sections across the border. If you have just a European Union, you can delegate one thing to the chief at that place that is above the European Union. He would delegate it down to the countries that are under the European Union. If we're under the North American Union, he would receive his marching orders as well, from whether it be the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, or the United Nations. So it becomes easier to delegate information to 10 sections as it would be to delegate it to each individual country. So it really is just starting to show a unification of everyone coming together as one single unit. And then when the Bible did talk about 10 kings or 10 kingdoms, he was talking about like 10 regions that are going on throughout the country. And then the Antichrist would be at the head of that. And the Bible does say that they do turn over every nation and every tongue. They basically willfully turn over their rights to him. It's easier for him to dictate stuff to different regions in different places as it would be to try to say, okay, Canada, you have to do this, then United States, you have to do this, then Mexico, you have to do this, and then Central America and South America. I'm presuming eventually South America probably will get swept up into the mix somewhere down the line, and then you just, you know, everyone comes together. But from a Bible prophecy standpoint, it's a lot easier to delegate stuff to 10 sections as it would be to delegate it to 100 sections.
Yeah. Okay. So the connection then is it appears to be a move toward a global government and global economy.
Absolutely.
Okay. What's something else that you have seen happening that connects up in your research anyway with Bible prophecy?
One of them was the United Nations, which was on their website. They plan to build a global religion. That was actually the quote that was on the United Nations website. It said, United Nations plan to build a global religion. We saw this under the influence. They talk about a false prophet and an antichrist. We know there would be a one-world religion, a one-world government, in the end time when that would happen. And what I started to see pretty interesting in my research was there was a lot of headline news of the Pope himself, which is in office now. He was calling for global unity. The Pope called for a new world order. And one of the big ones that hit me, if you do a search, it actually says Pope Benedict calls for a new world order. And Pope Benedict himself actually went and blessed the United Nations flag. So I started to see actual religion get involved with government and how he was pushing for this. And we know, according to Scripture, that the Antichrist leads people, I'm sorry, the false prophet leads people to the Antichrist to worship him. So when I started seeing the Pope himself getting involved, and I am not calling the Pope the false prophet, I am just saying that there is a religious leader that is getting involved. It obviously is the Pope due to the research, but he may not be the false prophet that the actual Bible talks about. But we are seeing a movement to unify the religion, and we are seeing a support system to global government from a religious section.
All right. Well, I'm not religious, and I view, everyone that listens to this show has heard me say it. If a person chooses to be religious, go for it. I'm not critical of religious people for being religious. If that's what you believe, go for it. It is my opinion that history tends to prove that religion, any religion, whether you're talking about Muslim, Christian, whatever, once it's an organized religion, it tends toward being anti-freedom. And, I certainly can see how if you put the United Nations in charge of forming a world religion, and it's going to be as messed up as everything else the United Nations ever touches. Everything they touch is messed up. And,
well, I agree with you there. I just think, in looking at it and seeing what's going on how I can't still understand why United Nations would get involved to want to push an agenda for global religion, other than the fact that it's biblical prophecy and these things have to play out.
Well, it's because religion is the primary problem on the planet.
Well, I agree.
Religion is why there is war everywhere you look. And it's the primary problem. And that's why the United Nations would be involved in it.
And another thing that hit me as a an interesting topic on it was how there's a tremendous...
Dr. Adams, I hate to cut you off, but I'm being cut off as well. The break is taking over. We'll be back right after this. We'll hear more from Dr. Alfred Adams. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I had a little minor malfunction technically there, but we got it straight. My guest this evening is Dr. Alfred Adams. And Dr., whenever we went away for break, you were just about to say something. The floor is yours, sir. Are you with me, Dr. Adams?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. When we went away for break, you were just about to say something, and I had to interrupt. But I want to give you the opportunity to finish your thought.
Well, basically, like when we start to see the unification coming together of government, religion, currency, commerce, the laws, structure, and stuff like that start to happen, one of the next big things that come into play is how to control all of that. And then that's when you're growing surveillance of society starts to happen. A big proposal came out on The Independent, which was proposing for a universal DNA database. They want to be able to take everyone's DNA and put them into a database, and if If it's in a computer, we know that if it's in a computer, it has the capability to be linked to this RFID chip, and that's how things continue to move forward, referring to putting, I guess you would say, the pieces to the puzzle together. And there's a tremendous amount of information that's going on right now of making a total surveillance, you know, become a reality. And Time Magazine had a big article that came out, talked about all nations would be under total surveillance. That Big Brother look, that police state type feeling. And we know that in the end times that the Antichrist himself will be able to have that kind of control to be able to view things, watch things, monitor things, and be able to get involved when obviously people would get out of line.
We already are in almost total surveillance. This radio show is being surveilled. Your email, I don't care who you send it to, is surveilled. It's screened. And that's for everybody, everybody on the planet. Your email is screened. And if you have to call an ambulance, the EMTs have been trained to look for certain things, and when they're in your house taking care of you, there are certain things they're supposed to look for and report if they see them. The same thing is true for firefighters. The same thing is true for police who are called to your residence for non-criminal situations. The post office, you know, the mail carriers, everybody that is associated with the government has been trained and is being trained to watch you.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because Fox News had a real interesting article back in March that the government wants to control your thermostat. And if you would go to "the government wants to control your thermostat," Fox News, in a search, you'll be able to pull that entire article on how they plan to do it, and that's kind of tied into the global climate and things that are going on with it. They feel that the government at one point, sooner or later, is going to take over everything. And, you know, we're seeing stuff now where the government's getting involved with health care, it's got involved with the banking system, it's got involved with the automotive system. So things are constantly moving to where the control is being just basically handed over. It's not being taken with force. It's being handed over with the white flag waving, "please bail us out," straight to the government. And that's the worst place anything can be in. I mean, putting something like that of that value into the hands of the government is basically creating a recipe for disaster.
Now, it's no secret to anyone that listens to this show that I'm probably on several watch lists. It's no secret to me every time I fly. I mean, when you've got a TSA genius asking you if you're wearing briefs or boxers after having done two full body x-rays, you kind of figure you're on a watch list. And this happens 100% of the time if I fly. But have you given any thought to the fact that now that you've made this movie and you've been on radio all over the country talking about it, you're probably on one of those lists, and when they start rounding folks up, we're probably going to, you know, meet at some camp somewhere?
Well, it's crossed my mind a few times. I guess in one aspect, I can't live in the fear factor of if I don't put this information out, I can probably live a normal life, but then at the same time, what is classified as normal today? And then the second thing that comes to mind is, I feel it's the right thing to do to get the information out to warn the masses that are sleeping. When the film was put together and it was made, we presented facts. It was the same facts that was presented, whether it was through via newscast, information that we found on the internet. All we did was put it together and link it in a biblical sense to what the Bible says, and then put it out there as in the form of, are we living in the end times? And if we are living in the end times, then according to Scripture, you know, there should be hope for the Christian. To look at myself being on one of these blacklists and being rounded up in the middle of the night, I guess from my perspective, if that's what the Lord wishes, then that's what would happen. But I wouldn't live in fear over it, and if we do end up in a camp together, You know, I'll take black and you can take red and we'll play checkers till we, you know,
We'll have to find some way to put a pirate radio station together so we can broadcast.
But, you know, we'll draw the circle and we'll pick up rocks and try to play marbles as best as we can. But I think we need to, you know, realize that there is definite things going on. A lot of people say, what can we do to stop it? Obviously, from a biblical perspective, my view would be you can't stop something if it's already supposed to happen. I think people need to be aware of what's going on with the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the movement that's happening with the North American Union, the proposed currency of the Amero, the RFID chip, the possible of living in a cashless society. These are things that are happening. The average person might not even know what habeas corpus is. And habeas corpus is your right to a fair trial. And if you don't know what certain things are in the Constitution, it's very easy to take it away. It's kind of like, if you don't know it exists, I can take something from you because you can't miss what you never had.
You know, one of the things that astounded me was the when they created this new position, the guy that is above CIA, NSA, and all the other alphabets, all of it comes under his control. So it's the Director of National Intelligence. When they created that new position, they brought a general in. I can't think of his name, bald-headed guy. And I don't hold that against him. I'm kind of bald-headed myself. But in the news conference, he was explaining that they were going to be, that they were conducting these wiretaps and everything, and that it was totally constitutional. He was challenged by a reporter. And the reporter said, well, you know, wait a minute. The Fourth Amendment says you have to have probable cause. Now, the legal definition, folks, of probable cause, it's not just, well, he probably did it. The legal definition of probable cause has several elements in it. One, a felony has been committed. Two, we have reason, substantiated reason, to believe that a specific person is in possession of evidence or is the suspect. And then three, we have to be able to identify what the evidence is. We have to be able to state what that evidence is to a judge in writing and swear that it's true. And we have to be able to state why we believe it's in that person's possession. And why it's at a specific location. Then you get a warrant. Okay, the reporter brought this up. And this general who was to be in charge of all the national intelligence said, it's the Constitution says, Fourth Amendment says, reasonable grounds, you know, we have reason to suspect. The reporter pressed him and said, no, sir, the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution says probable cause in order to get a warrant. And this guy, this general, argued with him and contended that the Constitution didn't say that. They went forward on the basis of what the general said rather than on the basis of what the Constitution said, and we had all those illegal wiretaps.
It's actually funny you bring that up because I remember actually seeing that.
Okay, we'll talk about that when we come back. Break took over. We'll pick up right there when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are joining us just now in the second hour of the show, welcome aboard. I'm glad you made it. We're talking with Dr. Alfred Adams, and he is the director of a movie that is entitled Are We Living in the Last Days? We're talking about world events that his research indicates to him may be linked to prophecies about the end times that show up in the Bible. Now, when we went away for break, Dr. Adams, you were just about to say, I had just talked about that press conference that I saw, and this was back during the Bush administration, and you were just about to say you remember seeing that press conference.
Correct. I actually remember seeing it. Exactly what you're saying is pretty much how it went down. And he was basically saying, well, you know, we're above the law. We can do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. And, you know, that kind of leads me to the next thing that a particular name a lot of people may not recognize is Posse Comitatus. That's in the Constitution. And if you ask the average person, they'll look at you and have no clue to what it means, and it's using military to police on U.S. soil. And me being from New Orleans, I had firsthand view of that during the Katrina situation. You know, we had tanks and armed soldiers and everything else, you know, right here in our backyard. And, you know, I constantly look at that, and it reminds me of how bad things are going to get right around the corner in our future, the next big catastrophe, whether it be by nature or whether it be another 9/11 scenario. The executive orders that would be passed on would be totally given to FEMA. FEMA can put its executive orders into place to take over the entire nation in the blink of an eye, and they already have in place what is called the United States Police. And those camps you're talking about would probably end up being one of these FEMA camps that you and I would be trying to get a shortwave radio put together to let people know we're both okay.
All right. You know, let me just, we have a caller on hold. Caller, just hang on a minute. One more thing about that press conference. If I'm remembering it correctly, the reporter said, well, I've got a copy of the Constitution in my pocket. I can show you if you want. And the general said, I'm very aware of the Constitution. Something like that. And then he reverted to this answer that
he didn't want any part of being proven wrong.
Yeah, well, if you've got generals that, number one, don't know the freaking Constitution, or number two, know it but are willing to just get glazed over and just run over the Constitution, those are generals that need to be court-martialed. That guy needs to be court-martialed, if no other reason, for being so stupid about the Constitution. And that's not political. that's just citizenship. Okay, now with and I must say, anybody that hears this needs to remember that I said that. Dr. Adams didn't. I said it. All right. I think a cop, any cop that doesn't know the Constitution, needs to be fired. He takes an oath to uphold and protect the Constitution. That general took that oath. How are you going to do it if you don't even know it? All right. Now, in our comments tonight, I don't care if you get fiery. That's okay. But remember, we're not going political. Okay? So I don't want you calling in here and telling me all of the why Barack Obama is the greatest thing that ever happened. I don't want you calling in here and telling me why he's the worst thing that ever happened. I don't want you to call in here and tell me why George Bush is the devil or why he's a saint. Let's stick with the issues. Some of these things happened in the Bush administration. Some of them are happening in the Obama administration. The administration, I like what you said to me on the phone earlier, Dr. Adams, doesn't matter if it's left wing or right wing, it's all the same bird.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Yeah, Kevin.
Hello. Oh, amazing show tonight, guys. Hello there, Alfred. I am very well aware, awake and aware of the New World Order agenda there, Alfred. And the RFID chips and the quarantine camps as they're calling them right now, are maybe a reality a lot sooner than late. Because I'm coming out of a report from Greg Evanston out of Kansas, where FEMA, along with the police, troops, and the military, will be conducting roadblocks over this whole swine flu mass vaccination thing that's going on, where they're actually going to start having roadblocks, and they are going to be putting people that do accept the vaccination, they will be putting a steel band with an RFID tracking chip on it. Now, these steel band things with the RFID tracking chip on it, they're saying it's just to prove that you got the vaccination and whatnot. This story goes back to 2008, where in Boston they had similar things where they had these metal bracelets. But in Kansas, this Evanston was reporting that those that refuse to take the bracelet and the vaccine right there at the checkpoint, there will be a bus waiting to haul their rear ends to a quote unquote quarantine camp at I think it's Fort Riley Air Base there in Kansas. And Fort Riley has been, of course, for those that do study the New World Order agenda, listen, Alex Jones and all that stuff, they know that Fort Riley is one of the identified FEMA camps. So these FEMA camps and martial law is, quite frankly, a lot closer than with actually Maine. The state of Maine has actually declared martial law just recently. They just passed. It's going to be passing through their Senate there very shortly.
But it doesn't surprise me that things like that are happening, and there has been information that came out that the swine flu was man-made. It was put together in a laboratory due to the strands. They felt that it could not genetically mutate to get to where it's at. It was too perfectly cut. I did see information about that. There is information out there now that's going on about the, you know, quote-unquote forced vaccinations. They say that according to, you know, United States Constitution, there was an actual law case. I can't think of the gentleman's name, but the state was against Massachusetts, and which is well over 100 years ago. That's why they're still saying that they were well within their rights to be able to force people at gunpoint to either A, take this, or B, they would haul you off. So that information is 100% accurate.
Yeah. Kevin, thanks for the call, man.
All right,
623-444-5889 is the telephone number. And if you need to call me toll-free, please feel free to do so. 888-223-4599 is the toll-free number. Again, 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, okay? If you're in the USA, if you're in Canada, you need to send a telephone call, okay? But if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. You do that by going over to my website and scroll down. You'll see a link that says flash message. All right, we have a flash message from the United Kingdom. This is from John, and it says, well, it's just a Mayan timeline. Edgar Cayce Nostradamus timeline for 2012 seems to be a bit rigid. For example, massive flooding appears to be off the timeline. He estimated 4 to 5 European nations will go under the ocean. And I'm saying this because over major interesting events will happen before this occurs. Other major interesting events will happen before this occurs. For example, Nostradamus, I don't understand what that says. Something about nuclear disaster, but only two. Oh, he said there were 3 nuclear disasters to come. Only 2 have come to pass so far, Three Mile Island and Chernobyl. Personally, I don't think anything will happen on that date. Good show as always. Okay, so what John in the United Kingdom is saying is he doesn't see anything spectacular taking place on December the 21st, 2012. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Louis from Connecticut, and we say good evening to your guest, Dr. Adams.
Good evening, Louis.
Yes, what people don't realize, this is, to me, a high-level Masonic with the Illuminati, okay? The Trilateral Commission, the Council of Foreign Relations, they're all occults, like they formed from England, from the Round Table. I really believe the high-level Masons, this is all designed hundreds of years ago, and it's even on the seal of the dollar bill, okay? This been going on, and they were practicing this for years. And what's happening now that a lot of us people in America were all dumbed down with the frequency, like the doctor was talking about, the IF, you know, the chips. It had a lot to do with high def TV. A lot of Americans don't realize they could have kept the high def TV to analog. That is going to be used for low-level transmission of frequency where they, our government can actually put voices in your head, which they did do during the first Gulf War when our American people were seeing the enemy waving white flags, surrendering. I believe that was done by a frequency.
You might be right about that because... I remember seeing on TV during Gulf War I, Iraqi army soldiers surrendering to one of our robots, and there was no American soldier around. There was this robot that was going out doing surveillance and recon, and you know it's a tracked vehicle, but it's remote controlled. And the Iraqi soldiers are waving a white flag and surrendering to this robot. And Dr. Nick Begich has been on the show talking with us about previously about the fact that they have the technology to transmit a voice directly into your head. And he's got good documentation on that. Hey, Louis, thanks for the call.
Yes, sir.
All right, 623-444-5889, or the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Dr. Adams, one of the things that's interesting to me is that, you know, we've all pretty much seen the news, and we've heard about a lot of these things. Now, some of these things I had not heard about. I had not heard about the cyanide chip, but most of these things we've heard about. What's interesting to me is the way that your research sort of links them to things that are in the Bible. It doesn't sort of link them. It does link them to things that are in the Bible. It's pretty interesting that these prophecies that you're talking about seem to describe these current events.
Well, that was the main gist of the documentary. You know, the question that hits after you see it is, are we living in the end times due to the fact of the information that's put together that is, you know, linked to biblical prophecy? Does it put us in the area of living in the end times, or do we still have ample amount of years ahead of us, whether it's 10 years, 20 years, 1,000 years? It still is open for debate, but we definitely wanted the viewer of the documentary to feel secure in knowing that what's in it is facts, that just like Brother Louis called when he called, he was talking about the information that could be transmitted into people's heads, you know. You got to admit, it's got to raise a question on why the government would give rebates, why they advertised it so much that we're going to switch everyone's television over to a particular frequency that can be monitored, controlled, and when I say this, I mean it literally, manipulated. If there's an event that's going on and it's live, if they have the ability to broadcast it, let's say 60 seconds later with a delay, if there's something that hits the screen that they don't want the viewer to see, they obviously can cut to something else, and by the time we would see it, we're only seeing what we are allowed to see. And the media has been manipulating the people for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. The mass media in this country is an enemy of the Constitution, and I think most of them don't realize that. Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin. Great show again, as usual, tonight.
Thanks.
Kevin, my question to Dr. Adams is, in regards to all the prophecies that I have to admit, it's becoming starting to look like a really bad nightmare show, everything going on in the world. Would we, like on the other side of all this, if there is some sort of messianic or savior element coming in at the other end of all this, would we recognize it? Or would we label it as evil?
I believe we would recognize it if we're going to stick biblically. The Bible does say that my sheep will hear my voice, and referring to Jesus himself is saying that. So those who are true followers, true believers, people who are born again and saved, would recognize it, would see it. The Bible always tells you to test the spirits. The Bible tells you to, you'll know things by the fruit that they bear. So you have to look at things with some intelligence, and you have to always be
cautious. But how many people are true believers? But I mean, like,
answer how many people are true believers. I don't know. I guess, you know, my first thing would be I would want to make sure I'm right first. I would want to make sure that I have a right standing. And then from there, hopefully be able to get others into a right standing.
Well, there's this component, too. According to the biblical prophecy, basically, we're talking here about Revelation, the last book in the Bible. There is, in answer to your question, Stefan, there is... 1,000 years reign of peace on the earth, where this Messiah, and of course Revelation refers to him as being Jesus, has this 1,000 years reign of peace, and all of the nations have turned their allegiance away from that one world government and to him. So that every nation, every tongue, etc. By the way, nation in Revelation is the Greek word ethnos. Every ethnicity, every language turns to him.
But
not as Savior.
Not to oppose you, but what I'm wondering is, it seems to me that from that perspective, an Antichrist agenda and a Christ agenda seem to be almost the same thing. One world government, doing away with religion, or the creation of one religion, one language, one currency.
Yeah, the elements
Christ
are...
himself wasn't even a Christian.
The elements are the same. Let me add this, though, to what I was saying. They turn to him not in a spiritual sense, but as the ruler of the planet.
Ah.
Okay.
That is the difference. Exactly. You know, Kevin hit it hard with that. When they turn to him, he's the ruler of the planet. They don't go to him from a religious sense. That is 100% correct.
So, in answer to your question, would we recognize it? I think people are accustomed to recognize, people on this planet, we're accustomed to recognizing who's got the biggest stick. And so after this war that the Bible talks about, this final world war, it's pretty easy to figure out who won. And I don't think that there's no indication that the world turns to him, to this Messiah, as the Messiah. But they obey his leadership in the world. Now, you made a good point that the elements of the Christ-Antichrist rulership seem to be identical. The raw elements of it are identical. And the and I think the Christians, and you correct me, Doctor, if I get this wrong, the Christians would say, yeah, that's right. The elements are identical. The Antichrist is the counterfeit. And he's trying to be.
Basically counterfeits himself to manifest himself as a Christ-like figure.
But the end result is, who's going to rule the world?
Boy, well, that is a battle I want to witness. I want front row seats to that show.
Not me. I don't want I don't want front row seats to any battles or war. I've lived in war zones. I've seen enough of that.
Great show, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I've lived in a number of war zones. I'm not impressed with being in war zones. Okay, yeah, the... I think a lot of people, whoever this Antichrist is, let's assume that what Revelation says about this is correct for the sake of argument. Whoever this Antichrist is, I don't think people are going to turn to him, not very many people, will turn to this Antichrist in a spiritual religious sense. But they see that's the strong man. Now, let me give you a real quick example, Doctor, and for the audience, too. You can go to the former Yugoslavia. It no longer exists. It was made up of six republics. And you go in any of those republics, Slovenia, Croatia, Montenegro, Macedonia, Serbia. I know I'm leaving somebody out, but go into any of the six republics. You go into the homes, and let's say you go into an Albanian home, and they're very nice people, but you talk to them about the Serbs, and you see the little kids, you say, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to kill Serbs. Why? Well, because they're Serbs. You talk to the Serb kids, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? I'm going to kill Albanians. Why? Well, because they're Albanians. They hate each other. But everyone, all over those six republics, in those homes, they'll have a picture of Tito, Joseph Broz Tito, who was the dictator. And they all love him. Why? He was a strong man. He ruled with an iron fist. And he said, you're not Albanian, you're not Croatian, you're not Bosnian, you are Yugoslavian. And if I hear any of this sectarian stuff, I'll put you in prison for the rest of your life. And so because he ruled with an iron fist and enforced it, they all got along. Once he was out of the way...
When the Antichrist comes on the scene, he'll obviously rule with an iron fist. He'll have an answer for everything. He'll have cures for certain diseases and problems that are going on. He'll fix the economical system globally. He'll be made and look like a total hero.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the planet.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back in just a moment. And get your fingers ready to do the dialing, all right? It's a talk show. End times. Doctor, I think it depends. My answer to that depends on how we define end times. If we're talking about the end of an age and the end of the old paradigm, I'd say it's pretty obvious that the old paradigm is in its death throes. But if we're talking about annihilation, I don't buy that. What do you say about that?
I guess there's a few viewpoints. One, I definitely believe the world is changing. I believe the world as we know it is probably over. I think a new world will be ushered in.
Okay, now when you say the world as we know it is over, You're not talking about the annihilation of planet Earth.
No, I'm talking about the civilization, referring to the way how we lived, you know, referring to your rights, referring to being able to freely move around without being, you know, scrutinized for everything that you do, not being under total surveillance, that kind of world as we know it. For total annihilation, I would hope we would still have some time before that would happen. Obviously, North Korea not long ago has made some threats of taking care of, you know, putting its mark on the planet, referring to launching nukes. So I guess the element of threat of total annihilation will always be there. We know that Iran has made public statements, the president of Iran has made public statements of wiping Israel off the face of the earth. We do know that Russia has great ties into the Middle East, and there is a war yet still to be prophesied, fulfilled, that is, which is the Gog-Magog War, which is Russia and its Middle Eastern allies attacking Israel. But the elements continue to be there, and the threat has continued to be there. We do know that Russia has, you know, played its part of biblical prophecy by funding and arming the Middle East to give them the power that they would need to be able to go in and try to take over Israel.
Yeah, but so have we. So have we. We have armed the Middle East to the teeth.
Absolutely. So I continue to see that, I guess the question mark on total annihilation, obviously, it can be around the corner at any given time, but I don't see that as happening as fast as, you know, the way of life, you know, as we know it, is definitely changing and coming to a halt within the very near future.
You know, I think a lot of changes, I mean, they're happening really fast now, so we're noticing them. I hear a lot of people say, you know, we got to get everybody to wake up. We got to put a stop to this. And I say, and have been criticized for it, I understand that not everybody buys what I say about this. We're 30 years too late to stop it. We've been nickeled and dimed up to this point into a little change here, a little change there, a little compromise on the Constitution here, a little compromise there. And then now we went through a phase over the past 10 years where the changes were not nickel and dime, they were dollars. And now we're, you know, at $100 changes, big changes. And they're going to get bigger. But it's going to happen rather rapidly, I think. You know, it's like dominoes falling. They pick up speed as they go.
Yeah, the snowball effect. I will definitely agree to you. I believe as things continue to unfold, as current events can be linked to biblical scripture and prophecy that is in a horizon of being fulfilled, it continues to prove that, you know, things are going to change. And as things change, you know, we need to kind of be chameleons and change with it. You know, we need to be prepared for what's coming. I believe people need to, you know, take their right stand and realize, you know, as earlier that was stated with, you know, one of the callers, you know, how do you know who are true believers? I don't know. I don't know who's, you know, really and truly a true believer or not. That's why, you know, as I was explaining to him, I got to make sure that I am ready and I'm right first. And once I know I'm secured, then I can try to help someone else. And I mean, that's just, you know, normal logic sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like when you're on your airplane, they always tell you to put your mask on first before you help someone else.
And all right. Now, I have a question for you that that touches on other religions and other ancient texts. A lot of the things that you're talking about that show up in Bible prophecy, a lot of those things are described using other words, other language, from other prophets in ancient civilization. How do you account for that?
Two things. One, I believe that there was a master plan put into effect by the Creator that allowed the information to be put in various languages, various times, in hopes that it would create the awareness to bring everyone to the viewpoint that, you know, these things are going to happen and we have to be prepared for them, as opposed to coincidence that, you know, the luck of the draw. You know, I don't believe in dice myself, but, you know, I definitely believe that the creator that is involved with the master plan has allowed this to happen in hopes that people would come together and be prepared for the change that's coming.
When we talk about being prepared for the change that's coming, you know, I don't see anything. It depends on what kind of changes we're talking about and what kind of being prepared we're talking about. I don't. If a comet is going to strike the Earth and it happens to be aimed at the city you live in, I don't see any way you can actually be prepared for that. I mean, if it hits, it's going to hit, and whatever happens is going to happen. So there are some things that we can't be prepared for in terms of avoiding them. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, I live out here in Phoenix. I'm in the kill zone for the super volcano up at Yellowstone. If it blows, I'm in the kill zone. Now, I go to sleep tonight and the thing blows. Well, guess what? You know, I go. But if what we're talking about is having our minds prepared so that we don't go into a state of shock, and so that we can make good decisions for survival as these events begin to play out, then I think you can be prepared for that. I think you can get your mind ready for that.
Well, your mind ready for it, and, you know, for preparing for it, and also from, you know, my point of view from a biblical, you know, side would be, you know, to make right with God, you know, to be a born-again believer, you know, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that way, when these events would happen, obviously, you know, if a comet was coming towards New Orleans, there wouldn't be much I could do, but I could prepare, I guess, for my eternal state, and, you know, that would give me the peace that I need, you know, to be able to move on.
Would you say that we're looking, well, let me back up and start over and restate or rephrase it. As we look at the movement toward a one-world government, I don't think there's anybody on the planet that's not aware that movement is underfoot. It's underway. As we move toward that, how long do you think we've got before it becomes a reality?
I'll answer that in two phases. The first phase, we are already under the reality of a global government. It's just not on the surface yet. America goes to war under the United Nations resolution, not its own. United Nations has been involved in numerous countries for their laws, things that are happening. They say you can't do this, you can't do that. There's sanctions being in place by the United Nations in other countries. So I think, you know, before it really gets to the surface and people go, wait a minute, now I see it, it could be 2 years away. It could be 5 years away. I highly doubt it's 10. I don't think we have 10 years. But it can be anywhere from 2 to 5 years away before it would really come to the surface to where we would be under this complete global government to where everyone recognizes it.
Does any of this scare you?
No. As a person, like I said, as a believer in the Bible, I expect it to happen. And, you know, from Scripture it says when these things start to come to pass, look up because your Redeemer draws near. So I kind of expect these things to happen. I expect them to come to pass. I guess I look at it like this. The worse the world gets, the better it gets for the believer. You know, at that point...
Well, yeah, that's true if your beliefs are correct, that's true. What if they're not? What if it turns out that Jesus was just a man?
If it would turn out that, you know, Jesus was just a man, then, you know, at that point, I guess the element of heaven and hell would be not real. And Hitler would face the exact same ultimate ending as Mother Teresa. That
yeah.
there would be no just at the end of the day. And that just would be how it would be. There couldn't be much I can change about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I guess the ultimate thing would be, I guess, Hitler's quote-unquote destiny at the end of his breathing on planet Earth, if there is an eternal resting place, would be the same outcome as just Mother Teresa's. They would both receive the exact same reward.
All right, now I'm going a different direction than we've been going with this next question. And I'll set it up this way. In Genesis, the first book of the Bible, it talks about this person referred to as the Lord God. And in today's English, the word Lord, we don't use that except in a religious sense. It means the boss God, the one with the authority. Shows up on this planet, creates Adam and Eve. And I have asked this question of a lot of people, and it amazes me how many people have never even thought about it. Is this Lord God an extraterrestrial? And I've had a couple of preachers you almost needed to do the Heimlich maneuver on them. They choked so badly when I suggested that God is an extraterrestrial. But then you ask this question. Okay, well, is he from here? Well, no, he's not from here. Well, then he is an extraterrestrial. I had one guy say, yeah, well, that doesn't mean he's one of the little green men. Well, anybody that thinks that extraterrestrials are little green men have been watching way too much mass media. Now, let's assume that Genesis is correct. If Genesis is correct, an extraterrestrial did all of this. Someone that's an off-worlder, he's not from here. There's been a massive increase in UFO activity around the world over the past, well, within the past few months. A massive increase. Is there any relationship that you know of between UFO activity and the end time prophecies? And we'll get that answer on the other side of this break. I had just asked the question, is there any link between UFO activity increasing and things that you have found in your research of Bible prophecy about the end times?
Yeah, there is definitely a link. Actually, when you brought up in Genesis, some questions that have came up were the sons of God. If you also look in Job, when Satan went to God to talk about Job, it says, also along came the sons of God. And, you know, being an end times researcher and studying on astrotology, UFO and sightings of that nature, it's believed to be there'll be a high level of increase in spotting of these things as we would get closer to, quote-unquote, you know, the end times. The ultimate question I've been asked on numerous times is, what are they, and where are they from? In my study and research in it, and I haven't dwelt in it a lot, I don't know if they're so much from another galaxy as opposed to they would be more from another dimension, like a spirit realm. And as opposed to what they are, staying close to a biblical side of things like I do, and this is just my opinion, I would believe it's something is there. I just don't think it's what people think it is. It may be more of a demonic type force and an activity going on and taking place, as opposed to another race of some sort from another galaxy.
All right, now why would it necessarily be demonic? Because what the Bible says about the angels of Lucifer is that they transform themselves into, they can transform themselves into angels of light. Therefore, why could this not be angels of light along with some counterfeits transforming themselves into angels of light?
And I definitely agree. I mean, I believe it is, you know, demons itself transforming themselves into angels of light.
You know? Yeah, but you see, if you transform yourself into something that people are not accustomed to seeing, then you identify yourself just as if you didn't transform yourself. For instance, if I go out on the street and I don't want to be recognized, so I wear a clown costume, I stick out like a sore thumb.
Correct.
Okay. However, if everyone out there is dressed like clowns and I dress like that, then I don't. So what I'm saying is, based on generally accepted statements from people who are Bible scholars, about a third of the angels rebelled and followed Lucifer. That means there's two-thirds, the majority, that didn't. That means if what we're looking at in the sky, if any of those are demonic, then the majority are not.
That would be correct.
So, okay, well, that answers that question. Yeah, I've had a number.
I believe it is a form of, I guess I look at it from this angle, because I believe people that have become over the years UFO hunters, set up things out in the Midwest and close to the West Coast because the night sky is a lot easier to see, it pulls them further away from, I guess you would say, a Christ-like walk, and puts them more in the realm of, you know, they're not trying to live a life like Christ, walk a life like Christ. They're more or less, they're researching, they're looking, they believe that there's another life form out there. And according to Scripture, you know, when it says Jesus, you know, when God gave his only begotten Son, he died for the world, meaning this planet, as opposed to worlds, meaning more than one planet.
And a lot well, okay, so there's no other species like us then. But, look, when it talks about cherubim and seraphim, those are other life forms. Those are two distinct, different races of extraterrestrials.
Correct. They're angels.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what theologians call them, but they're referred to by their racial name, their ethnic name, which is cherubim and seraphim. And so that's the names of two separate races or species of non-Earth-dwelling life.
That's correct. I agree with you there.
All right. Now, who are the Nephilim?
That is presumed to be, back in Genesis, when the angels fell, they talk about the giants. There's giants that supposedly walk the faces of the earth. That these angels supposedly have had intercourse with certain actual humans on planet Earth. And in End Time study, and it touches a little bit on, like I said, getting back to the possible sons of God, they are mentioned in Genesis, and they are mentioned again in Job.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nephilim, you know, could fall into that category. It's not something I personally have studied very deeply, so, you know, I can't really comment heavily on it. And, you know, for your viewers that, you know, wanted me to hit a home run with that, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm more of a person that takes current events and things that are going on.
Well, let me explain why I brought that up. It's connected to the question that I had asked about, is there a connection between UFO activity and end-time prophecy? Zechariah Sitchin has published a lot of stuff about the ancient Sumerian texts. The Sumerians called their gods the Anunnaki. He equates Anunnaki with Nephilim. He says they're the same. And the Sumerian texts talk about the return of the Anunnaki. So that would be the return of the Nephilim. Nephilim being the Hebrew word, Anunnaki mm-hmm. being the Sumerian word. But he says they're talking about the same thing. So if the Nephilim, if that's the name given to these angels that rebelled, if that's who they are, that may be the link, you know, if they are indeed coming back, that may be the link to increased UFO activity.
It's quite possible. You know, it's definitely debatable in both, you know, the pros and the cons.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe there still will be a high level of UFO activity as we do get closer to, you know, the end of the age. I definitely believe there will be. There'll be a bigger sightings, more sightings. I mean, there'll be people that'll, you know, be able to get better footages of what's going on, whether it be photo or videotape and stuff like that. And I definitely believe it is a link to it, you know, but to, you know, really get into, you know, I guess you would say the Nephilim and stuff like that, that's just something I personally have not studied or spent a lot of time in my research with. You know, I stayed more with what I thought was a little bit more in front of a person's face that they were probably missing.
Yeah, stuff that's in the
world events.
Stuff that's in the major media and the news, and people need to be aware that that stuff's going on. All right, now, we're just about out of time. I want you to tell folks, where can they go to get your books and your film?
Amazon.com would be the best place. Go to Amazon.com, and when you go to movies and TV, you would just type in, "Are we living in the end times?" and that would come up. And if anyone had an interest in the books, they can just go directly to the website, which is www.nearingmidnight.com.
Okay, and folks, we have that one linked to Dr. Adams' photograph on the website. Doctor, just stay on the line with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap. That was Dr. Alfred Adams and A Biblical View of the Times in Which We Live. That wraps up our series this week. It's been interesting, hasn't it? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.